In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Come on.
So we sing hallelujah.
Hey,
Alabakashia.
We'll dance in your presence.
We'll dance in your presence.
Oh, till you
come again.
Come on, sing it again.
Sing hallelujah.
Just wanna be with you.
Be with you
one more time, King of Glory.
King of Glory,
fill this place.
Just wanna be with you.
We just wanna be
with you.
Alabarakasi
poborodia.
King of glory, come and fill my life. That's why I came. Fill me again. I need an experience with you, Lord. I need an experience with you, Lord. Oh, come on, Saya Dalaba. In Jesus.
Father, tonight we are here. We come again and again, week after week, because, Lord, there is nothing like your presence. And I ask tonight that you visit every one of us here and even following online. Do something mighty in our lives. Let your word come with power to save, to transform, to deliver. Let every stubborn addiction, forces of hell, strongholds of the enemy be broken in this place. Let your children experience liberty indeed by the power of your spirit. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Would you give the Lord a big hand of praise? Hallelujah. Please shake the hands of one or two persons beside you. Welcome them to Pneumatech. It's going to be an amazing time in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let's continue from where we stopped last week. See how we can finish and then take some time to pray. The Lord be glorified in this place in Jesus' name. So we started last week on fighting temptations. Fighting temptations. I'm just going over it a little bit for those who were not around. And for those of us who didn't have the time, or should I say you didn't create time to listen to the message, so I'll just do a little recap and then we'll go right into where we stopped. We decided to go through the teaching by asking 5 questions. So as we answer the 5 questions, it will be a sum total of all that the teaching encapsulates. Fighting temptations. The Bible told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 that there is no temptation that is not common to man. And so temptations are common. They are a normal part of human experience. And we believe that because we talked about the fact that there is the nature of sin resident in the flesh of man. And that happened from the time of the fall in the Garden of Eden. There is at work in our body the law of sin. And that law makes us responsive to sin. That law makes our body conscious of the things of this life. And there is no way you are conscious of the things of this life that you will not be at a loggerhead with the will or the desire of the spirit. That law also brought a twin called the law of death. The law of death, remember, God told Adam, it says that he said to him in Genesis chapter 2, that the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. The death there was not just physical death. It was that man was disconnected from the life of God. And with that disconnection came the activation of a law in the life of mankind. That law is called the law. The law of sin makes you conscious of sin, makes you fall into sin, or it makes your desires come in unison with anything that is against the will of God for you, which we call sin. But then the law of death, which was also impacted into the nature of man by reason of the fall, is the law that makes us not able to do the things that are the desires of the spirit. So now, there is something in you that makes you vulnerable to sin. At the same time, there's also something in you that makes you useless to the life of God. The law of death will not allow you express the desires of the spirit that is in you. You know, when you read Romans chapter 7, Paul said, the thing I want to do, I find myself not doing it. And the thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. The thing I don't want to do is sin. I don't want to commit sin. But I find myself doing it. Why? Because I'm enslaved to the law of sin at work in my body. And the thing I want to do that I find myself not doing is the law of death. I am now enslaved to a nature, a fallen nature, that makes me not able to express the desires of the spirit. These two laws are working in the nature of man. But the Bible says that when we are born again, in Romans chapter 8 verses 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life. So what God did when you became born again is he introduced another law. Because everything that exists and everything that is living is powered by a law. The reason why your body is alive is because there are biological laws that your body is responding to every second of every minute of every hour. So when you became born again, God activated the law of the spirit of life. Meaning that the Holy Spirit and His life within you makes you rise above the law of sin and death, which was in your nature because you are a descendant of Adam. Do we understand that? Because temptations come as a result of the nature of sin and death that is in us. The reason why we can be tempted is because
there is a law of sin and death at work in us. And so the devil looks for natural circumstances or objects that I'm looking for the word to use now, that are affiliated to or that come in sync with the law of sin that is in us. So if, for instance, you are tempted with money, you cannot see money and remove your eye from there. Any money you see, whether it's cash or in kind, you must spend it. It's because there is a law of sin at work in you. That law has produced a nature called greed. It makes you greedy. That's the reason why the devil, working in partnership with that nature of greed that is in you, will show you money, knowing that when you see money, it triggers the nature of greed, and you will not rest until you satisfy. So you see, temptation wants you to satisfy the desires of the flesh. It wants you to gratify the nature of sin that is in you. It doesn't care whether God is happy or not happy about it. In fact, it doesn't care whether the whole world needs to come to a standstill until you fulfill that desire. And that's the reason why, if we don't learn how to fight and overcome temptations, we'll become slaves. And God brought you in Christ Jesus so that you can experience liberty. Anybody that lives uncontrolled or with uncontrolled desires, even when it doesn't please God, they are slaves. They are not in control of their life. They feel they are in control. Now, that's the bait that the devil uses when he comes to tempt you with anything. And we are all tempted by different things. When the devil comes to tempt you, he tries to convince you that in exercising yourself to that desire, you are living in independence. In other words, if you don't do it, you are not free. Do it so that you can enjoy. He tries to market to you self-enjoyment or self-aggrandizement as freedom. Meanwhile, that is enslavement. Because God didn't give you desires to rule over you. God gave you desires so you can rule over it. You remember what God told Cain? He told him, even before the thought of bitterness and anger was in Cain against Abel. It was not Abel's fault that God didn't accept Cain's offering. But because Cain was angry that God didn't accept his offering, anger will always want you to transfer aggression. When you are angry or when somebody incenses you, are you listening to me? When you are incensed to become angry, you need to watch it, because at that point, you need to vent off that anger. So there is that desire in you to transfer the aggression. Somebody must suffer for you to be at peace. That's what anger does. And so for that moment, once you fall into that trap, you have become a slave to anger. So Cain was angry at God, but to transfer aggression, that's why anger is the root. Anger and bitterness is the root for murder. Anybody that can entertain anger and wrath is a potential murderer. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. You see, that feeling in you makes you already assassinate that person or whatever it is that incensed you to be angry. And you see, most of the times when you have cooled down, you will discover that there was really no need for you to have been angry. But I'm just showing you why this nature of this law of sin and death, every time it's trying to gain control over us and to enslave us. But in the outward, it's a temptation for you to yield to desires that are trapped in your body. And God told Cain, he said, sin lies at your door, but I've given you the strength to overcome it. In other words, just before you fall into that temptation, remember that you still have control over the desires. You can choose to satisfy or not to satisfy any of those desires. And that's how temptation happens. Satan simply looks for an external object by which he can get into attraction with a certain desire that is in us. And can I tell you something, every one of us, especially the young ones, everybody generally, but you know, those of us that are elderly, 45, 50, they have seen life to a level. They were once young and they have moved in their youthful exuberance and it has cost them a lot. So by the time you are approaching 50 and above, it's not really much of a temptation. But it's to the young ones who feel that they want to be alive. They want to be free and enjoy. That's a ticket to slavery. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because what the devil is promising you and he calls freedom is actually uncontrolled freedom. Meaning that your desires start ruling over you till your desires land you into trouble. And you know what? When you enter that trouble, your desires and Satan, they will stand one side and allow you to face the music. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that every trap that the devil has set in form of temptation, he wants you to fall and take all the blame. You fall into that trap. I'm praying it for your future. I say you will not fall into that trap. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, we asked about 5 questions and we try to answer those questions so we can grasp the full portion of this teaching. Number 1, what are temptations? We agreed that temptations are, what did we say it was again? You know, I didn't read from my script. It was you that told me what temptation was. Amen. Enticements. Seduction. So that you can yield to the desires of the flesh and to the desires of self. You know, self is the nature of the soul of a man who is not born again, or a man who is born again and not transformed. Self is resident in your soul. Self makes you conscious of you. That's also another problem. The devil too can tempt you to become conscious of yourself in a situation, and you can exercise pride, which is sin. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, when you really begin to follow God, you will now realize that it's not every matter that needs to be discussed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That feeling that we have, especially when people insult you or defame you or accuse you falsely, you know that feeling that makes you want everybody to sit down, let's talk about this matter, let's address it. That is coming from self. It's pride. You are conscious of yourself and your reputation and how people see you. You don't care about what happens at the end of the day. That's a sin too. I'm sorry, it looks hard, but I'm telling you both by experience and as your teacher, it's not every matter that should be discussed. Some matters should just be allowed. Especially when you did not hear them gossiping you. Behave as if they didn't say anything. I mean, we read a scripture at the worker service. Please visit our worker service. I'm telling you. Tomorrow, come. What was that scripture we read? Exodus 7 verse 21. I think I remember the scripture. Exodus 7 verse 21. It says, also do not take to heart everything people say. Do you have other translations? Do you have other translations? Say, do not eavesdrop on the conversation of others. Now that's in 2 ways. It's either you are eavesdropping literally, and that's because you are concerned, you know, you see, anybody that really, and with all due respect, but in all humility, anybody that seems to care about what people say about them, to me, it looks like you are suffering from low self-esteem.
Because you see, when it comes to your identity and your nature as a person, it's something God created in you. You don't need people's affirmation or people's endorsement. You don't need people's opinion to tell you who you are. No. You can seek people's opinion for appraisal to change your attitude, to improve your work ethics or certain things around you. But when it comes to your original nature, who God created you to be, it's not people that will let you know. People will always give you an opposite of who you are. So anybody that is always, he cares about what people say, eavesdrop or what people say about him or her, you know, there are some people who even have, they have a network, some gossipers in church, they have, are you angry with me? No, don't worry. It's the word of God is washing you. Amen. The Bible says he will sanctify them with the washing of water by the word. That's why you are came. That's why you came here. Amen. That's why you came here. Let's grow out of seeking people's opinion and people's affirmation and people's endorsement. In fact, some gossipers, because they know they gossip other people, they now have a network of people in church who check for them to know who is talking about them. So you discover that they are not in church, but they know what happened in church. How? Huh? You bought MTN. You are now using MTN network. You bought it. You know, there's one, is it, what you call it now? Airtel. It started as Econet, then it became Zain, it became, they just kept buying it. You now, you have bought MTN. You have your network. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, do not eavesdrop on what people say. It also means do not be concerned, really. That's not to mean that when people are making constructive criticism about you, especially to you, that's not to mean you shouldn't receive it. But if it is just gibberish here and there, those are distractions. You may fall in, you may be tempted to want to gather everybody and sit down and let's know who said this so that you can be exonerated. That is self-preservation. That's a sin. That is birthed by pride, which is a nature of sin. You have to live in what I call identity security. You need to know who you are and stay in the consciousness of who you are. Amen. Yes. I wish we can be so in love with what God is saying about us half as much as we are in love with what people say about us. I wish. So, we talked about what are temptations. We also asked another question, how do temptations arise? And we saw from scripture in James chapter 1 verse 13 to 16 that every man is tempted when they are drawn by the desires of their flesh. So Satan will look for a desire in you that you have not learned to control and use that to tempt you. Do you know that a desire for the supernatural, if not well controlled, can also lead to sin? Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are people who believe in visions and dreams and supernatural experiences much more than they believe in the word of God. Satan can use that to tempt you. Yeah. Very soon, you will no longer give time to the word of God. You are just interested in what God has said, a vision, a dream, a prophecy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But all of that must come under the ministry of the word of God in your life. And that's the reason why many people, because of that uncontrolled desire for the supernatural, have dabbled into extra biblical practices that are not of God. For instance, as a pastor, if I am so moved about the supernatural that I feel that the endorsement of my ministry, I'm not satisfied that people endorse or my ministry is endorsed when I teach the word of God. But I must prophesy, I must move in power, I must do this and that. That desire, when not controlled, very soon will lead me to begin to lead people to practice things that are extra biblical. It's not every time that you were anointed in a church that God instructed the man of God to anoint you. Sometimes God just cover for us. Sometimes it's an uncontrolled desire in our flesh. You know, no, many pastors won't tell you this one. Moses struck the rock the second time. Water came up. But did God tell him to strike the rock? No. But you know, not just because he was angry, but because in striking the rock, you were presented to the people as the one that brought the water. Because you know, God told him, gather the elders with you in front of the people, go to the front of the rock, speak to the rock, and it will bring out water. If he had done that, they will know that he was not the one. They will know that it was another power, which is of God, that was working. But it was easy to go and hit the rock and water came out. And of course, you know, by this time, Moses had become like a god to them. He was, every time he lifted that rod, something happened. So that was why when Moses went to the mountain, they simply turned to another god. Because as far as they were concerned, they didn't even know if God existed. Their god was Moses. You have to be careful sometimes that you don't idolize your man of God. It comes from an uncontrolled desire for the supernatural, for performance. It's not every time that we anoint you in church that God told us to anoint you. Sometimes God just covers up. If you really want to learn how to walk with God, God will make you conscious of these details. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So every man is tempted when he's drawn away by the desires of his flesh. The third question was, is it a common thing or is it a sin to be tempted? And we all agreed that it is common to be tempted and it is not a sin to be tempted. Temptation itself is not a sin. It is when you yield to it, you exercise the desire of the flesh, and at such you are in opposition to the will of God concerning you. That's when it becomes a sin. Number four, we asked, how do I avoid or escape temptation? Which we are going to talk about. And then number five, the last question was, is it possible to be an object of temptation myself? And we agreed, yes, according to the scriptures that we read, it is possible. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 13, can we read that scripture again? Let's start from verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty. What is the liberty? You are no longer susceptible to the laws of Moses, whether it's the Ten Commandments or is the 600 and whatever number of laws that God gave to the children of Israel. And if you break one of the law, you have broken all and you have sinned. Imagine living under that. That was slavery. But the law, like the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, the law was a schoolmaster until grace would come. God used the law to keep the people under check so that they don't misbehave and so that their conscience before God can be plain. But they knew that they didn't have the power to live according to the law. But when grace came in Christ Jesus, you are not under that law again, that you must do this, you must do that, you must know. He has brought us to freedom. But the Bible says in Galatians 5:13 that we should not use that freedom or liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. In the law, you commit this sin, penalty. You commit that sin, penalty. But in Christ Jesus, when he died on the cross for us, he took away the penalty of sin once and for all. That's why you can sin today, sin tomorrow, and you're not paying for it. Even though there's a difference between the penalty of sin and the consequences of sin. You see, the penalty of sin is in Romans chapter 6 verse 23. It says the wages of sin is death. So anyone that sins, even if it's cheekily sin or big sin, all is the same. The penalty was what? Death. But Jesus Christ has redeemed us from that penalty because he took our place and died on the cross. That's why you didn't drop dead when you sinned. When you went and slept with that choir member, did you die? Did any angel appear to you with cane and say, we'll give you 36 stroke according to your age? No. In fact, the next day God still favored you. Right? Because the penalty has been dealt with. But there is the consequence of sin. You went and slept with the choir member and you say, God, forgive me. No problem. God has forgiven you. But the consequences is that you deposited sperm. And 1 month later, when the lady tells you, I missed my period, you are now saying, ha, why will you miss your period? Why is she not going to miss her period? You obey biology and put something there. You know, just some brothers are very funny. And I'm ashamed of men who are not ready to close their trouser, but you are not ready to have an unwanted, you call it an unwanted pregnancy. There's nothing like unwanted pregnancy. You score gold. If when they are playing football, whether it's under English Premiership League or UEFA or Copa America or Italian League, they're too rough for Italian League. Or Spanish League, what you call Spanish? What Spanish League? Huh? La Liga. Or CAF, African Champion, African Club of Nations, whatever. If you score goal, they'll give you money. No be so. Every goal scorer will collect money. So you will score goal. Collect you is the dividends. Amen. Young ladies, let me advise you. That guy, you know, when men want sex, they can do. A man is designed like a hunter. Let me tell you, there's something you don't know about us men. You think women are the ones that are very consistent. Nalayo, if a man wants sex, you've not seen pressure with skill, with wisdom. And as I'm talking here, there are some of you who you are born again, you speak in tongues, but you still have that skill. You know what to do to get a lady to lie on the bed for you in less than 1 month of meeting her. You better repent, oh. Hallelujah. Do you like my message? Yes, it's Agbo. It will cure you of malaria. Amen. It will cure you. As I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. As I'm shouting here now, if anything happens and tomorrow I call up one lady here, she should remind me of everything I said. That's why I'm shouting like this. It's not just to you. Huh? The world is also a witness. So just before the guy call up you one corner, he tells you nobody will know this one. I want to ask him, if I get pregnant after this, will you be responsible? By the time he starts stammering, run. Because look at society today. You have a lot of single mothers who God didn't plan that they will be single mothers. Because of some wonderful young men who don't know how to keep their body under control. I will come back to Galatians. But let me show you another scripture. We'll come back to Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. Don't worry, as I'm preaching, I'm driving lust out of you. The way you are feeling like is the demons. One has gone, the other one is gone. They are all living. That spirit of Ashtoreth, it will come out today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Because right now, even in church, immorality is becoming a normal, we are almost normalizing it. We are almost normalizing it. And you can't call good what God says is bad. That's just it. That's why he's consistent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read verse 3. He said, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. I'm just speaking this one as one of the sins. So there are many other sins. So are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you can close your trouser, but you steal with your pen. You steal with your pen. Well, even this week you stole. And you put the money inside the offering, that our new offering envelope, you put the money there. Let's continue. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel You know what it means? Know how to control your body in sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of. These are the kind of scriptures you should read when you go on your retreat. No, when we go on retreats, we are only asking God for the next level this, next level. No, read this kind of thing. Because sometimes when you don't purge yourself of those, that lust or those or inordinate desires that are just hiding and maturing there, when God takes you to that next level of breakthrough, that's what will betray you and destroy you there. It will not be so for you. Let's finish reading it. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. But when you sleep with somebody who is not your wife or your husband, the Bible says you are a fraud, you are a scam. You defrauded your brother. You took advantage of their body. And you took advantage of a body that Jesus bought with his blood. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such. I know some of you wish this scripture was not in the Bible. He did there. He did there. He did there. Even me, the first time I saw this scripture, I closed the Bible first. Next verse. For God has not called us unto uncleanliness, but in holiness. It is possible. That's why we are talking about fighting temptation. So back to Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. The Bible encourages us that we should not exercise liberty. Liberty in Christ Jesus, meaning you are not bounded to any law or any sin. However, the Spirit of God is now living in your heart. And so because He is there, He teaches you how to live right and just before God. How? By initiating His desires through you. The desire to pray, the desire to abstain from sins, those are desires at another level. Those ones come by the Spirit. And you must learn to yield to that to avoid temptation. And so we looked at sources of temptation. Right? How do temptations arise? This one that I'm seeing people going out and coming, is it because of this part of the teaching? If you like, go out and come to the end of the meeting. This teaching is vim. You know, they use vim to wash pots. And the teaching is not designed to be sweet. So all this going out and coming, anytime you come back, I will still use vim. Do you love me? All right. Somebody say, Apostle, you're on too much, bro. It has to be too much. So how do temptations arise? Number one, we said, by uncontrolled or unbridled desires. Do you have the slideshow again? Number one, we said, by uncontrolled or unbridled desires. Number two, we said, what? Unconfessed sins, secret sins. Number three, compromise. Number four, isolation. I just want to be alone. Be careful, my brother. If you know that being alone makes you vulnerable to sin, please don't be alone. Don't live alone. Say, but Apostle, I can't live with people. I can't tolerate. I'm very sensitive. Better be there and suffer with them. That's the suffering that will purge you from sin. Right? You know, there are people who don't like living with people. They just like being alone. I like my space. If that your space makes you vulnerable to sin, better occupy that space. Choke it. Bring people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because it's better they dirty the house and you are angry that they dirty the house than they leave. And that's when you know you can't stay alone. You have to bring somebody to spend the weekend. Amen. And you know those weekend spenders, when they come to church, they hope that the person leading the opening prayer, the first prayer point should be, let's ask the Lord for mercy today. Hey, yes, Father, you know. Go and tell that person to pack out. God has shown you mercy, but tell that person to pack out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, we are young people, so when I'm preaching this kind of thing, I know I need to say it very well so that we can hear. Say amen. So isolation is one of the ways, one of the channels by which temptations come. I told you that even Jesus, when he left the baptism of John and went to the wilderness, the devil came because he was alone. The next time he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, he had learned that isolation can be destructive. He gathered his disciples and then he carried three of them. He said, watch here for me while I pray. If isolation was what made her fall, she was alone, right? Then the serpent came. Cain! There was nobody to advise him. He was alone. Isolations, you have to be careful. Monitor seasons in your life where you are isolated. Maybe you travel for work as a humanitarian. Or you have been praying for God to give you expatriation job. Finally, God has answered your prayer. He has fulfilled the prophecy of apostle. Then you are an expatriate to a South African country. The first thing you should check is that HIV population in Southern Africa is more in Africa. That's the first thing you need to check. Alpha, you're laughing. It's true. Huh? So I'm working in South Africa now. You better anoint yourself. There are nations that when they give me invitations to go and travel and preach there, I will carry people and go. Because I've been hearing what's happening there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I heard Apostle Emmanuel Irin giving, it was in his message, he was talking about a man of God who went to preach in South Africa. And after a long weekend of preaching, he was tired. He asked them for spa so that they can massage him. Hey, sometimes that backache is better. Sometimes that backache is better. Hey, it's a spa. He didn't know that the spa were agents of hell. And that's how he slept with the two ladies. And as soon as they were done, one of them carried phone and called somebody in his presence and said, we've got him. What does we've got him mean? A while later, the man died of HIV. Anointed pastor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So those of you that are called into ministry, that God is showing you nations, there are also demons in those nations. And it's not all demons that carry horn. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Music ministers. All right, finally, God has opened door for you. Your first ministration is Kenya, then Ghana. You see, before you start traveling out of your base to minister, you need to start doing what I call consecrative fast. There are places you will go to, the Holy Ghost will say, don't eat till evening. He's saving you. Because that ogbono soup that they will cook for you that you eat is what will make your flesh alive. I remember one of our fathers in this land, who is late now, blessed memory, Reverend Sunday Daniel. I used to go to him for counsel many times. You know, he's one of the pastors from this town that has traveled to different nations. So I go to him, I ask him, sir, how was this phase of your ministry? You know, young people, we are proud. We don't want to ask. No problem. He told me when he traveled to South Africa the first time, that they finished the morning session and he came to rest, preparing for the afternoon or evening session. And then he had a knock on the door. When he opened the door, he saw a lady. He doesn't know whether she was wearing skirt or bum shorts. The lady now came and said, sir, do you need anything? I was sent to take care of you. And he said, what are you doing here? No, I'm okay. Please go. The lady said, so I can iron your clothes, sir. I can iron your clothes. He said, go. Amen. You don't know that ladies are beautiful until you travel out of Nigeria. Amen. You've not seen South African blend of ladies. Amen. I'm telling you, depending on the weight of your destiny, you will have to die to set several things, though. This one that your spiritual daughters are just in Unimed, yeah, using Maiduguri water to bath, and your body is shaking like this when you are counseling them. If God now gives you a spiritual daughter from America or from Brazil, you know Brazil? You know Brazil? Hey, forever you will be. The Lamb upon the throne. I don't even know why I'm singing now. We are just preaching. I gladly bow my knees.
gladly bow my knees to worship you, Lord.
So you have to be careful of seasons where you are isolated. All right? You have to be careful. I told you the story of Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. There was nothing wrong with Dinah. But Dinah just say, make a stroll alone. Am I not a young lady? I can do what I want. I'm an adult. Okay, they go. Dinah went and came back not the same. Yeah?
You will never be the same. She came.
Amen. So be careful of seasons when you are isolated. Amen. I mean, anytime I travel from here for preaching engagement, you don't know how strict I am. In fact, women are not even allowed to come to my hotel room. We're going to preach somewhere, so we stopped in one state, and then one of the, you know, pastors, big voices there said, he said, Apostle, you are coming, your dinner will be on me and all of that. He came with the ladies that brought the dinner, and he came with them to the room, and when they had dropped it, he told them to leave. I said, thank God this man understands. Not because you are afraid, but you see, you need to build some, in computer terms, they call it firewall, right? Against antiviruses. Because these desires can be in you, you will not know until you travel for a UN summit. And where did you travel to? Spain. And another thing I need to tell you, spiritually, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2, some of you will experience this in time to come, that there is a spirit, a prince of the power of the air, which walks in the children of disobedience. That tells you that there are forces in every territory that rule over the individuals in that territory. And they rule over them through the lust of their flesh. Demonic forces, I mean. Satanic forces. So that's why when you travel to Calabar, you just, the air is corrupted with lust. Right? But that's not the same when you are in Gombe or Jigawa. So that's the reason why you need to watch when you travel to this place, that place. Because you don't know what's happening. And then you may have these desires in you. It will not show until you come under an atmosphere that has been spiritually contaminated. And so the desires will become heightened. My brother, that's when to fast. And if your fasting is no longer working, maybe 6 to 6 will not do that one. Go 24 hours. Go 48 hours. You know that kind of fasting that looks like you would die. It's not unto death. It's death to life. Amen. I remember one time we traveled to Bauchi. I can say this because this was years ago. I think Bishop was a bishop and all of that. I'm not sure Blessing is aware of this one. I didn't tell you. Powerful meeting. 2 days. God moved mightily. Mightily. I mean, we saw the glory of God like never before. And I think it was state conference, COPAS or something like that. So we didn't have money then. So we stayed wherever they put us. And they kept us in the family house. Amen. You see, those of you that are calling to ministry, once COPAS are inviting you, carry your transport. Carry everything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are coppers. So I remember on Sunday morning we were about to leave. So Bishop had gone out. I think he went out to get us something. We needed milk or something like that. I know. So there was a lady who came, said she wanted to see me. And I didn't know that in family house there's a word they use. They say bashigetin. No bashigetin. You know, from the word bashiga in Hausa, which means you are not allowed to enter. So girls are not allowed to come to where the boys are, and boys are not allowed to. And we stayed in the, is it president's room or secretary room? Or so this lady now bashigated, when Bishop left, she bashigated. And I guess she was so hungry for the power of God and she needed to touch the hem of the garment of the man of God. And the lady was beautiful. Amen. I survived. Amen. Yeah, I survived. Very well. No need to give you the details. Some of you are so imaginative. You are just... I survived by the grace of God. Number what now? 5. We said wrong company, wrong companionship can be a channel to temptation. When you keep the wrong people around you, you have just kept temptation close by. Amen. The Bible says evil communication corrupts. Number what? We talked about spiritual lukewarmness as a channel to temptations. When your spiritual life is dead or dying. Now this happens because your prayer life is dead. Spiritual lukewarmness is different from spiritual decadence. In spiritual lukewarmness, your fire is going out, and that's because the desire to pray is no longer as strong as before. And you see, prayer sets you on fire. It keeps you spiritually alive and active. It keeps your spiritual senses on alert. So it is easy to dodge or to evade the attacks or the temptations of the enemy. But when your spiritual life is lukewarm, it means your prayer life is dead. And that's because your desire to pray is fast waning out. And I tell you the truth, if you truly love God and love your destiny, you need to find a way to check your spiritual life on a daily basis. Check and gauge your desire to prayer, to fasting, to spiritual exercises. Because they are signs of your state of your spiritual health. Alright? Jesus said we should pray to avoid falling into temptation. Was that where we stopped? Alright, so this will now be number what now? Let's finish up. Number 7. Channels of temptation. Are you ready for this one? Stress. Tiredness. Or weariness. Is a channel to temptation. Oh, but I don't tire. I want to go relax. And the place he went to relax is a drinking and Ishewu joint. No, they are not drinking style. They don't know beer. It's just a normal place. But when you went there, you now saw a lady who wore a bum shirt and sat down there. And for some reasons, your eyes cannot take, you can't take your eyes away from her laps. And there's something I will explain to Ross. There are what we call spiritually. Do you believe what I'm telling you? There are gateways to your soul. You see, this is how the devil tempts you. He must ensure that the thing he wants to use to tempt you must have been planted in your mind. He needs to get you to think about it first. Why? Because God gave your thoughts the power of imagination. Your reality starts from your imagination. Believe me. It is in your imaginations you can see and hear and touch and feel things that are yet intangible. That's the reason why the moment you look at anything that is pornographic or anything that suggests obscenities, all of a sudden, hormones are triggered in your body, isn't it? So how do you connect what your eyes saw and how your body is behaving? So the devil needs to get you to think about it. And the way to think about it is to get it planted in your soul, your mind. You say, but I just looked at her for 30 seconds. It's enough, sir. The demons, they are fast. You remember when you came back, very tired, and you went straight to bed. You slept. And then you woke up in the night. Usually you were supposed to sleep in the night, but now because you slept earlier, you woke up in the night. You are no longer tired. Or maybe you are still a bit tired. You try to pray, prayer no work. Something just moves you to take your phone. And as you take the phone and open it, you are hooked up to something that suggests, you don't need to watch pornographic sites to be caught up in pornography now. They are what we call soft pawns. Some comedy, I'm not saying I'm against comedy, but some with uncensored exposure. See, they did it deliberately. Yeah, they did it deliberately. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These guys in the media space, they understand what they are doing. Or they are controlled by forces they don't know. So it may not suggest a lot of pornography, but just a little bit of the London line showing, a little bit of the, you know, I'm saying all this is, you know, I know him. Not by experience, but I know who I'm preaching to you, and I know what you face every day. So when you are stressed, watch out for those seasons. When you are experiencing any of this stress, tiredness, weariness, you become emotionally distraught. And as such, you become vulnerable. When you are stressed out, you are also down emotionally. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is a strong connection between when you are strong and active and the energy in your emotion. And there's also a connection between when you are mentally stressed out or physically stressed out and emotionally down. That's why the Bible says the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. Because the joy of the Lord works in your soul. It's in your soul. Because when you are stressed or tired, you are very vulnerable that period. You know, I didn't tell you that lady that bashigated. You know, I finished preaching for 2 days. I was tired. Thank God for deliverance. Amen. That's why after that time I decided that if I'm traveling to preach anywhere, if you don't have money to keep me in the hotel, I'll stay in the hotel. Or, do you have a house? I think it's better to stay in the house than hotel. Because even in hotel, you are not even safe sometimes. Judges chapter 15. We see the example of Samson. Samson had just finished from verse 17 to 19. He had just finished defeating 1,000 Philistines. That's a great feat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even if he was anointed to do it. You know, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And there's something about moving in the anointing. At that point, you'll be energetic. But when you're done with that assignment, it will gradually begin to drift. And so Samson had finished killing 1,000 men. He was tired. And in his stress, he was tempted to commit sin. What was the sin? He was tempted to either doubt God or to accuse God. Why did I say that? He had just finished slaying 1,000 Philistines. And then he started complaining of thirst. At that point, there was a temptation to either doubt that the God who gave you strength to defeat 1,000 men is still able to provide water for you in a desert. Many of you don't know that doubt is sin. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. And one of the opposing force of faith is doubt. So he was at the point of being tempted to either doubt God or accuse God. Father, I've killed 1,000 men. Good. But am I going to die of thirst now? Why? Because he was stressed. He was tired. 1 Kings chapter 19. That was Elijah's issue. Finished from Mount Carmel, slew 450 prophets, brought down fire. But after that great feat, he was tired and weary. And because of that, he was emotionally distraught. That's the reason why the very next chapter, Elijah, the great prophet, is contemplating suicide. Now, what do you think God's cure for it was? Before God even spoke to him, on his way, running away, an angel appeared to him. He slept, right? The angel tapped him, say, eat. He ate, slept again. 2 times. Because God knew that the reason why this my prophet is now suicidal is because he's stressed. If you think that stress is not a channel of temptation, don't wait to get there. Many CEOs that now have girlfriends, it's not because they really wanted to have girlfriends, But when you walk in the office, everybody go. It's just you and your secretary, and your secretary is a female. Some of you that overwork, you have to be careful. You stay in the office because over time I'll be a serious person. When there are times you can do that, but it's not every time that you must cover up your report. Your destiny and report, choose one. See, the devil, if he wants to tempt you, he can maintain surveillance around your life and watch for routine, watch for patterns. You are always going late. You are always going late. No problem. Who are you? A lady. Since he has seen that there's a pattern of you are always the last to leave, he will now also prepare another person, another male in that office who will also be going late. One time people will jam yourself. Oh, you see there? Hey, no problem. Let's just go. That's the devil. The next time he will escort you, and God bless you, he has a car. Now so. The next time you wake up on the bed and see him by your side. Don't joke with the devil. That guy is wise. He has been on earth for thousands of years. He has studied human beings. They asked Dunsin Oyekon one time. They say, when are you most, how do you handle temptations? He say, it dey come, especially after a great meeting like this. He say, so his secret is after great meetings like that, he's alone. Because when you are stressed, you are emotionally down. At that time, you are no longer in control. See, it for you to stand a temptation at that time, you should have worked with God to a point where you have exercised your will over time. Is if you are learned how to, in your tiredness, still pray. After exercising yourself like that, that's the same way you'll be able to exercise yourself to avoid a temptation that comes to you when you are tired. That's why the Bible says he giveth his beloved. I'm talking to some of you now as it will concern your future. See, you see military men now. He has wife in the north. He has wife in the east. He has wife everywhere. And they will tell you that, you know, I'm a soldier now. No. Watch it when you are tired, when you are weary. So after a great feat, my advice, after a great feat or a great journey or a great program, create time to rest. Create time to rest. Some of you are Alpha Omega. Some of you can do you want to be everywhere. Create time to rest. My brother, my sister, create time to lie down and sleep. Sleep. Because when you don't rest, when you should, you will experience a hangover. They call it insomnia. When you don't sleep when you should sleep, sleep will now go. So you are tired physically, but you can't sleep. And at that moment, you become bored. You become lonely. And the feeling to explore will come on you. At this point, you could be trapped or overpowered by dangerous people if you allow them into your space, or you could explore the wrong thing and fall into sin. Are you blessed? So watch it when you are stressed. I'm not saying that the moment you are tired, there's every temptation I rebuke. No. See, the solution is isolate yourself and sleep. In fact, there are some women that if you see them becoming angry or hostile or shouting unnecessarily, when you know this person is normally quiet, if you check, that woman is stressed. She's stressed. If you are the husband and you have money, push money to her account. Tell her to go on a vacation for a while. Amen. If not, she will soon insult you. And she will tell you that, "Honey, I'm sorry, I don't know." She's stressed. If you don't have money, dress your bed, let her sleep. It's still the same thing. Amen. Can we continue? Channels of temptation: laziness or boredom. Laziness or boredom. Laziness. A lazy person is closer to temptation much more than a hardworking person. Young people, please always find something to do. If you are not doing anything, rest. If you are not resting, do something. Spiritually or physically or mental. And if you are not doing anything, rest. Laziness can be a channel. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, it was laziness that made David sleep with Bathsheba at a time when kings go to war. Oga no go war. What was he doing? He had never done it before. Climb his roof and was, that's laziness. A king has enough problem than to be climbing roof. He was lazy, boredom. Climb roof. And then from roof he looked and saw a woman taking a bath. And Satan took advantage of that. Made him to zoom very well. And you know, as a man, your eyes are very sharp. You will not know how sharp your eyes. Even the vision, the dream you had when you slept off, you woke up, you will not remember it all. But when it comes to temptation, Satan will make sure you can see it well. See it well. So laziness and boredom can be a channel. Number what? Self-preservation is also a channel to temptation. Self-preservation. Self-preservation. Let me ask you a question. Why do people lie? Those of us that once in a while. So I'm asking you, why do you lie? I think there's one cartoon they sang that, why you two, they lie like this. Abby? So why you, they lie? The main reason why many people lie, the main reason is self-preservation. You want to protect your image. Some people lie so that they will not look like the guilty one. Because the person that they are relating with is corrupt. Self-preservation can be a channel to temptation. That's why people lie and commit all kinds of abomination. Mark chapter 14 verse 66 to 72. Peter lied. Praise the Lord. Yes, the rock upon which I'll build my church. He lied. And to show you that it was deliberate, he lied 3 times. And he lied so well that he told the truth in all the lies. Let me explain. He didn't change what he said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, if somebody's lying, he will say one thing here, say another thing here. Peter said the same thing. He just added to it. In fact, the third time he swore. If I didn't lie, say I know the man, may thunder fire me. Self-preservation. Because he was afraid that if they identify him as with Jesus, he may just be in trouble with Jesus. Self-preservation. That's why you have to be careful. Anything that always makes you want to look out for self, be careful. It's not a channel that would, it will make you fall into a sin. Be careful. Some people lie and call it wisdom. First Samuel chapter 15 verse 24. Who sent Saul message? Nobody sent a message. Samuel was not coming. Samuel said, God said, kill all the Amalekites. But inside of him, he said, how will I allow all these goodies to go? He saved the goodies and killed the people and left the king. Samuel met him. What did Saul say? Put that scripture for us. 1 Samuel 15, 24. Saul said to Samuel, he said, for I have sinned and transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people. That's self-preservation. I feared the people. And do you know what? To add salt to injury, after this, he now begs Samuel, he say, Alpha, even if I know, I don't come, just follow me, go there. Stand with me, may they know, say, all is well. May God deliver us from the temptation of self-preservation. In the name of Jesus. May God give you the courage to stand for the truth at all times. I know why you are not shouting the amen. Because you are in charge of logistics in your office. And you have just seen how that you can build house in 6 months. Amen. Oh, God. You see, I prayed in tongues before coming here. So the Holy Ghost knows everything you are facing. So that's why I'm talking everything. I'm not sparing everything. Amen. And your prayer that I'll forget anything, na lie, it will not go work. I cover myself. Are you blessed at all? Let's finish up. I have three more to give you. Number what now? Channel of temptation. Lack of values, morals, or right principles. When you don't have values that govern your life. Yes, you are not under any law, but let your values define you. Be guided by your morality, your ethics. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Yes. But he set you free from the law of sin and death so that you can come under another law, the law of the spirit of life. So lack of morals, values, and right principles. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, keep the heart, your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Your values are entrenched in your heart. You have to know as an individual, as a child of God, with this identity, I don't do this, I don't do that. Have morals, have values, have a value system. I think I spoke about it at our online mentorship session on Friday, some Fridays back. Have values. In your, even your profession has values. It has ethics. It has morals. You should not be seen everywhere. There should not be things, and you don't do everything everybody does. For instance, one of my values is that I don't go to where they watch football match. There's no sin, but it's my value. Why? I'm a man of God. I am a voice of God. I'm not supposed to be everywhere. What am I doing where they are watching football match? How would I contribute to your growth? I can watch it in my house. It's not every what do you call this place, people? It's not every relaxation spot you should go to. Have values for your life. As a young lady, every guy wants to give you a lift, you just jump in. Bah! And some of you, you have not seen car before in your life. The guy just carries a 240 Mercedes C compressor, and then you just jump in. Amen. The sun is too hot. Hey, ladies, are you going? Yes, 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 yes. Ah! Have values for yourself. Say no to some things sometimes. Politely. Thank you. But no. Not like you don't, you have need of it. But no. I told you last week that somebody gave me a Jeep, a Highlander, 3 years ago. That was good. Even now, that's car. The person just bought it. Carry the key. I said, no. I'm telling you, as the person was driving away, it was as if something was dying inside of me. Maybe that's why it's difficult to impress me. I'm telling you, if I'd known I'll still be trekking to today, wallah, I would have collected it. Somehow we'll find a way. We'll find a way to appease the gods. I'll come to church on Sunday and sing, I am your own. I am your own. And just be appeasing. But have values. You know what Elisha told his servant when he collected those things from Naaman? He says, is this the time to collect gifts? You think I'm not a fool? When I saw the number two man of Syria came with gifts. That guy, after God healed him through Elisha became like a god. He could do anything. So much so that he pleaded with Elisha to fetch sand from Elisha's compound. So that he will go and build an altar with that. That's why, as a man of God, sometimes when God opens the heart of people to you, it's like Hezekiah. When he prayed that God should add years to his life that he will not die, God gave him. And then when the messengers from Babylon came, the Bible says God stepped away to try what was in his heart. God will not tell you to say no. He will step away to see what's truly in your heart. Because that's where values come from. Some of the anointings of my life didn't come by prayer and fasting. Maybe there are things I refused that God anointed me. That's... I pray that God will give us the power of self-control. Have values. Have ethics for your life. God has anointed you with a strong prophetic grace. It's not every honorarium you collect. The Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. In fact, if I'm going to pray for something or for someone or minister to the person, because I am going to do it for you, anything you bring, it is equals to no. Some of you are witnesses. Why? You can bring it another time. When I'm not doing anything for you, I will receive it. But just because I am on assignment to you, it will be as if you are paying for it. So no. Our values. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from every appearance of evil. He didn't say abstain from evil. Abstain from what? Appearance. Form. God give us grace in Jesus' name. Also Proverbs 22 verse 4 and Proverbs 1 verse 7. Number what now? 11. Spiritual decadence is also a channel to temptation. When you are low on the word, when you are empty of the word, that can be a channel of temptation. Psalms 119 verse 9 to 11. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed unto your word. He said, with my whole heart I have sought your law. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 11 says, your word have I hidden in my heart. Most times people fall into temptations because the strength from within to counter it is not there. Why? They are low on word. If you have at least 20 scriptures inside of you that is against immorality, it will be easy to say no to it. But it's difficult to say no because when Satan pushes that thing to you, you start looking for defense systems inside of you. You start looking for something in you to help you say no. But there's nothing. Why? There's no word. As a young man, anything that you know is a temptation to you, arm yourself with scriptures. You love God, you love every, you do every other thing, but you cannot see a fair lady and be in peace. Huh? Some of you like ladies that have makeup. Once the lady does makeup and she puts, you know those eye, what they put here? The thing will not be as if it's about to be raptured to heaven. And then they'll now paint it dark. So when the lady looks at you, it's like a piercing gaze. She's looking into your soul. Young man, have the word in your heart as a bulletproof. Put it there. Can I show you a scripture? Proverbs chapter 6. Let's read from verse 24. Oh God. Oh God. I'm just helping the young men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm just helping them. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Some of you, there's a way the lady just call your name. You just die. You know, she calls it with air. She whispers it. She uses her airy voice. Jonathan. She's from Delta State too. That's not an intonation. Oh boy. Let's continue the scripture. Bishop, you know there was a lady in school that used to call me like that. You know. I jump and pass, ba. Uh-huh. You knew there was a lady like that in our ring that used to. Let's continue. Why you put the scripture? See, let's continue this thing. He said, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. When she looks at you, piercing, if her eye go like this, you might, your soul will just be like, have courage to say no. Arm yourself with scriptures. He said, for by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. That's who you are, a sliced bread. When any lady can make you fall, you are a sliced bread. I know you speak in tongues. I know you are a manager in FHI, but you are a sliced bread. That's who you are. It's good you see yourself like that so that it will be, because it will become easy to say no. Next time you're about to fall, think of a sliced bread inside water. That's what your destiny is about to be. You pick your sandals and take off. Say amen.
Amen.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Let me leave you. So, make sure you are never empty or low on the word. Eat the word. Eat the word. Eat the word. Once in a while. Even at work. You can minimize that your screen you are working on your computer. Minimize that spreadsheet. Steal a glance from a scripture. Continue. During break, Smith Wigglesworth, one of the greatest generals of faith in the 20th century, they said he had a pocket Bible. He put it on his breast. Every 25 minutes or 5 minutes, he must open the Bible. And he was a man that didn't go to school, but he changed his world. Have the word. There are scriptures you read, like this scripture. When God showed me this scripture, there was nobody to tempt me. But you save it for the rainy day. Ladies too, have scriptures in your heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If not, anybody that just has a V shape can make you fall. You know V shape? From the waist here, it's like this. So it's large here and small here. Amen. Thank God I don't even have V shape. I have Jehovah shape. Amen. A thing we don't know. We know now. We know. Amen. That brother now that say, oh, so they like V-shape and you are going to the gym now to go and get V-shape. May God deliver you. Read Proverbs chapter 6 verse 20 to 24. I think we read part of that, so you can read that. Finally, number what now? Channels of temptation. Look at it, it's on the screen. Call it at the count of three. One, two, three. Foolish people will always fall. Foolish people always fall. You are going to rent a house. And they say the house, only two people in the compound. Everybody has his own side. With his toilet and everything. Oh, that's good. Ask who is staying in the other place first. Especially if you are single. If you are married and your family is not there with you, ask who is staying in the other flat. You didn't ask. You just went and rented the house. Then 1 week later, you saw your neighbor came out. A fair, slim lady from Akwa Ibom. And the last you check, you were a single brother from Deeper Life. If you know you can't stand, it will be wise to walk away. Collect your rent and leave. Amen. Collect your rent and leave. Oh. Foolishness. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 3, a prudent man sees evil and hides from it, but the foolish pass on and are punished. No, they don't need to put it. Those are scriptures. When I got to age 20, I read the whole book of Proverbs, because Proverbs is the 20th book of the Bible and that's the book of wisdom. And I saw many times that the warning for kings and for rich men was about women. Women. Even when you read Proverbs chapter 31 about King Lemuel, the first thing she warned him about is woman. He said, for they are the ones that bring down great kings. You, during your 30th birthday, what did you do? Did a cake with 30 candles. So I'll blow all of them. May God give us grace. I'm making it explicit and we laugh because I want us to get the message. Temptations. It has brought down great men. It has cut short the destinies of many people. Even God has become handicapped at some point because certain men that were not supposed to fall, fell. Yes, God will forgive. But if you fall into that particular sin, it dampens the weight of glory on your destiny. And it corrupts your vessel in such a way that God no longer has the right, or God will not be justified in the realm of the spirit if he can use somebody whose vessel has been corrupted for this kind of assignment. You guys need to understand. I'm not saying God will not forgive, no. But there are some mistakes that are not permissible for your destiny, sir. As a billionaire in the making, it's not permitted. As someone that will become an ambassador, a diplomat, and represent the kingdom of God, it's not permitted. Have you not seen men who rose to prominence and greatness? Then one day somebody shows up in front of their door with a 13-year-old. Who is this? He said, this is your child. How? 13 years ago, when he was in the university. So you have to be careful. I'm looking for a song to sing now. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every now, every hour I need thee. Oh, help me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Let's close the teaching now so we can pray. How to avoid or escape temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read verse 13 again. How to avoid or escape temptation. I'll give you these points and then we pray tonight. I believe you've been blessed already. He said, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. How to avoid or escape temptation. Number one, walk in the fear of God. Walk in the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Walk in the fear of the Lord. When you walk in the fear of God, you'll be sensitive to pride. The moment you begin to sense that, am I not having too much of myself? And then avoid it. Arrogance, the evil way, and a perverse mouth. A perverse mouth. Walk in the fear of the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord is one of the impartations that the Spirit of God brings into your heart when you are born again. There are seven dimensions of the Spirit of God that a believer can experience. You find that in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. Why did he put fear of God and knowledge? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, that knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. When you know too much, it's easy to become proud. When you know too much, it's easy to become arrogant. When you know too much, it's easy to want to do it your own way. That's why he added to knowledge the fear of the Lord. That was what Joseph had in Genesis chapter 39. If not, Joseph would have slept with Potiphar. I'm telling you, and nothing would have happened. He told her, he said, I fear God. People don't fear God, that's why they collect bribe. People don't fear God, that's why they lie. Lie cleanly, neatly. That lie that wears suit. People don't fear God, that's why they double date. In fact, there's a brother here now. You are sitting, not online, you are in this service now. And the person you are dating is double dating. He's dating another person. Let me just stop there. Let me not even, don't talk too much so I don't enter the ladies. This one is by prophecy, I'm just telling you. Go and pray. Or come and meet me after the service. If you sense that this thing is equal, I'll tell you in private.
It's lack of the fear of God. That's why they, and it's even Christians and sisters do that. Lack of the fear of God. It's easy to compromise when you don't fear God in your heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't just honor God with your lips. Let your heart exalt him. Let him be Lord in your heart. In your heart. So that when you are alone with Potiphar's wife, and there's nowhere to turn to, you will look up and say, no.
The fear of God. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 1 verse 17, when Pharaoh told the midwives that if the children of Israel, if their women give birth to a boy, kill it. If they give birth to a girl, allow it to live. Because he was afraid that they were multiplying and they were enslaving the children of Israel. They were afraid that one day, because of this great number, they would stand up and revolt. But the Bible says that the midwives feared God and they didn't do what Pharaoh said. Even at the risk of their life. Imagine, Pharaoh. They would have been killed, but they feared God. And the Bible says, because they feared God and didn't do what Pharaoh said, the Bible says, God blessed them and gave them their own children. Fear God and don't collect that bribe. Don't worry. God will still bless you in the future. Fear God and say no to it. You know, it's easy to say no to 50,000, 100,000. Some people, it's not easy. 10,000. But when you see $1,000, $5,000, when you see pounds, hey, have courage to say no. Fear God. Fear God, my brother. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God. That's what will save you from manipulating people. Fear God. Fear God. If the fear of the Lord is strong in your heart, that's the last thing that will stop you before you commit that evil. That's one of the ways to avoid temptation. Fear God. Fear, and we see, when you have the fear of the Lord, it will give birth to values and morals. A lady came to visit you and she wants to spend the night. You say, oh, she doesn't know anybody in this town. Let her stay. Hey! Use your last card and go and rent a hotel for her. Or you go to the hotel. You know that some things that we just do, it just makes me laugh. Say she doesn't know anybody now. She'll just sleep here for the night and then tomorrow she'll go. Oh, you sleep on the bed, I'll sleep on the ground. Ah, my brother, before you know what's going to happen, you go either there on top of that bed. You'll be above only. Ay, 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 ay. I'm telling you, fear God. Fear God. I know a pastor, in fact, it was from him I learned this thing. Pastor Prince will know him, Reverend Olugbemi. So I went to preach one time, was in Lafayette or where, and somebody, it was to see, one of his spiritual daughters was living around that place or close to that place. So she was coming to see him and the plan was she would see him in the meeting and then go. Somehow she couldn't make it till the whole meeting was over and he was back in the hotel room. She called him, I think around 9 or 10 o'clock. I just arrived Lafayette. He told her, I said, okay, look for any hotel in Lafayette of your choice. Go there, spend the night there. I'll send you money, pay for the hotel. I'll see you tomorrow. Then she did that. And then he told his host, oh, there was somebody who was supposed to come in and see me during the meeting, but the person just arrived. So tomorrow, you will arrange for the person to come. His family was in Abuja. He would have chopped and cleaned mouth. Nobody will know. Fear of the Lord. Number two, fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Tell a neighbor, fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord that made Joseph did not repay evil for evil to his brothers. He told them, he said, for I fear God. Genesis 42 verse 18. For I fear God. Number two, be spiritually fervent. Be spiritually fervent. Be spiritually fervent. Be on fire. Consistency in prayers plus having the word of God in your heart. Be spiritually, you are not created as a believer to be vacuum. Let me tell you the truth. It's good to rest and relax once in a while, but your spiritual meter must not go down. Be spiritually fervent. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Psalms 119:9-11. I share that scripture with you. Matthew 6:13. Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Right? That was a prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from temptation. Consistency in prayer can deliver you from temptations. There are traps the enemy will set. I'm telling you, needs traps, but prayer and spiritual fervency will help you avoid it. I'm telling you, you are used to going home last because you want to finish your work. That day, just before work hours are over, you just feel a prompting in your spirit to start speaking in tongues. And you are speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. After 15 minutes, something just tells you, pack up your things and leave now. That's not the normal time to leave. But then you leave. Maybe God has saved you from Jezebel. Jezebel came that day with condom, hoping that she would trap you. It's spiritual fervency that will save many people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are times I'll travel out of this place. I'm entering a city. God will say, don't tell anybody you are around. And I'll just stay. Before you know, one day to leave, people know I'm around. And guess the people coming? 89% women. So I didn't mean I'm coming to your city. And I want to feel like I have spiritual. One of them will prepare food with egusi for the man of God. You see, the moment God begins to lift you or anoint you, you have to be very careful. Your food can be poisoned. Your drink can be poisoned. You will not know. Only God knows what Delilah did to Samson that made him sleep off. And they barbed his hair. Samson that stayed till midnight. And by midnight, he went for operation, took hold of the gates. So Samson was an all-night guy. But when he met Delilah, be fervent to, why? Because spiritually he was dead by that time. And he wist not that the Lord had left him. Be fervent. You see all this, when I come here like, and all this smile, you see me, even after service, you see me smiling. Nalayo, I don't cook before I come here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am cooked before I come here. Even if you must, even if the demons from your father's house, they followed, I am cooked. Any day I'm not sure of myself, when I get down, I just use that door. The Bible says, let Satan take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant. He's been anointed before. Are you anointed? He's been anointed before. So he knows what it means to be anointed, and he knows when to trap an anointed person. You know, when oil is inside a frying pan, after a while, for some oil, it will slip, isn't it? That kind of oil, flies can come around. But when you bring oil that is just coming down from fire, even if you give the fly $1,000 and say, please, just fly past. Now, as that oil is boiling, that's how you are supposed to be spiritually. Yes, make up, wear the wig, but be alive. Be like boiling oil. The Bible spoke of John the Baptist. The Bible said he was a burning and a shining light. Born before you shine. Burn before you shine. Some people want to shine before they burn. You shine and you don't have the burning capacity. Somebody can just bring you down. Burn before you shine. That's why some of you, God is keeping you. He has not announced you. There is a level of, have you seen when a rocket is about to take off? Do you see the energy that it combusts on the ground? Burn before you shine. Be spiritually fervent. Number three, avoid the various sources of temptations that we have listed. The various channels of temptation. Avoid them. We listed how many? 12. Avoid them. Proverbs 1:10, it says, when sinners entice you, consent thou not. 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he Avoid them. Don't use your hand to buy trouble for yourself. Especially the one that you are most vulnerable to. Yes. Avoid it. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Number 4. Surround yourself with appropriate accountability structure. Surround yourself with appropriate accountability structure. Have people around you that you are accountable to. And be accountable to them in all things. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, the verse that it says, that be submissive to those who have rule over you. He said, for they watch over your soul. Is it verse 17 or so? Hebrews 13, I think verse 17 or so. He said, for they watch over your soul. Be accountable to people. Be accountable to Christian friends. Be accountable to Christian brothers. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Be submissive means be accountable to them. For they watch over your souls. The first thing Satan wants to destroy you, the people you are accountable to, where you commit one small one, it will make you not tell them. And then the next time you went to meet them, you thought that they will see in the spirit. And so you were afraid, but somehow they didn't see. Say, you are already in trouble. Be accountable. If I touch the waist of any lady here, I have people that will go and meet and say, see, her name is so and so. I touched her waist for 1 minute. 1 minute, 15 seconds. Accountability will save you. I know it is difficult to be accountable in our world today, where you tell somebody something and you hear it in another place. But still be accountable. Let God choose for you those structures. The right friends. The right people. The right prayer partners. The right mentors. Not all mentors have control of their mouth. Some mentors can be gossipers too. By mistake, they will go and say what you said to them. But allow God to choose for you that one that knows all your dirty nonsense. And for 6 years, he has not opened his mouth to tell anybody. Not just to cover you, but they will put you under strict discipline and ensure you grow. Some of us are too secretive. That's why you are in trouble. The second channel is secret sins. I am afraid of believers that have everything figured out and don't ever talk to anybody about anything. I am afraid of those people. In fact, they can't stay close to me. See, I have everything. They're just... Be accountable. When you know you're accountable to people, there are things you will not want to do. Because you know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Reverend Sunday of blessed memory told me that his spiritual father used to call them maybe once in a year or anytime they are coming for conference. Days before. He will gather there. I was privileged to visit the man, a great voice in the city of Jos. I was privileged to visit the house. Big house. Then he took me to one room. The room is a big room with chairs around one table, wooden chairs. He said, do you know what used to happen? Yeah, I said, no, sir. He said, our Baba will call all of us, pastors from different countries, different places. We'll sit down in this place for 3 days, no food, no water. He will say, oh, yeah, everybody confess. That woman that you slept with, talk. When you have finished everything, then you will now start the cleansing process. Prayer, for 3 days, no food. When you come out, you are clean. No wonder the ministers in their hierarchy were able to last. But right now, it's difficult for you to find a young man who has been a minister for 3, 4 years, 5 years. It's too much. He has misbehaved somewhere because no accountability structure. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsakes them will find mercy. Scripture I quoted. Have accountability structure around you. Some of you are too secretive and you are dying with the sin. You are dying there. No, sir. No, ma. Go and find help. It is pride when you need help and you don't ask for help. It is pride. It's only humble people that ask for help. You know why humble people pray? To God, the first sign of humility is when you go to pray. Because when you go to pray, you are simply telling God, I can't do it on my own. When you need help and you don't ask for help, because what would people say? You are proud. And pride plus that thing that is eating you is what may destroy you. But God will not allow it to be so. Surround yourself with spiritual parents, good mentors, godly friends and associates. Many of us pray for destiny helpers to give us money. But do you know there can be destiny helpers that are good friends? Godly friend. A godly friend can be a destiny helper, I'm telling you. That friend that did not allow you to score goal with that lady, else you would have had another child out of wedlock by now. I remember one time I was supposed to see somebody. And we were together that day. Me, you, Israel, and somebody like that. And it was a lady. And she was staying alone. I don't know what entered my head. I want to come and know your house. The only thing that did not make me leave that house that day was because we were together. I didn't tell you this one, but this is like almost 7-8 years ago. Because if I had left, she was staying alone. And that person till today still love me. Oh, that lady still love me till today. Now we are as, I'm sharing my own story with you, right? Now we are as far as the east is from the west. Why? It was because I had people. And I know that they pray. Maybe if I leave now, one of them will in the spirit. I say, no. No, I can't leave. She call. I'm not going anywhere. Thank God. Learn to talk to someone when you are struggling with something. Learn to talk to someone. Forget I say I'm a worshiper. Forget all that thing. Now waiting to kill people that. Drop your title. You need help. Go for help. Is that not what killed Lucifer? He always felt he was anointed. He was a cherub that covered it until iniquity was found in thee. He would have just gone to God, say, God, there's something in my heart. Please, I know you search. Can you use this fire here to... But he stayed there. He could still minister with the sin in his heart. Have people you can talk to. If you don't have, pray. Pray that God should send you to a church that you can trust the pastor. Because some of us, we have trust issues. I understand, I get it. Some of us have been victims of that. But the fact still remains, that's a good channel that will help you. Are you blessed? Number 5, observe frequent spiritual retreats. Observe frequent spiritual retreats. Observe frequent spiritual retreats. Retreats in the place of prayer and fasting. Soul searching. Go before God. Sit down. The way you are sitting down like this, looking at me. Sit down in the presence of God for 3 hours. Ask God, what is in my heart that is about to kill me? We don't do that. Our retreat is always, okay, wait. Sometimes, keep quiet and sit down there. Allow for soul searching. Talk with God. God will tell you, you have become a thief. Me? Thief? Yes, so in fact, immorality is in you now. In fact, this anger that you have been nursing over, you can kill some. You know when God say you are your heart, then you it break. That's what leads you to brokenness, and then you repent. Have frequent retreats. That your 1 month, 28. How many working days do they give somebody for leave? 25 days. Okay. At least one or two of those 25 days in the whole year should be for retreat. Go for retreat. As a pastor, you preach here, preach there, preach there, preach there. Great. When you come back, enter for retreat. Oh, I'm tired. Rest first. When you finish the resting, enter for retreat. Check your heart. Because Satan must plant it there first. So that the day he comes with the external unit, he will do like this and then your heart will just follow. Go for retreat. Go for retreats. You can do it corporately or individually. All right? And confess hidden motives before the Lord when you are in any of these retreats. Confess hidden motives. Lord, you see that lady? That gist. Honestly, I was angry that day. The kind of anger that was in me, I could slap that lady. Let me not brush it aside. Can you do something about that anger?
If you don't do that,
one day it will graduate from anger. It's when your hand has power. That's when you wake up.
How did I become? Many women that poisoned their husbands didn't start as murderers. It was always there, but there was no time for retreats. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know some women that poisoned their husband. Or he falls sick, I wish he dies. There are some men that even go to the mountain and pray, oh God, let my wife die. Retreat is what handles those motives. Search me true and true till my heart becomes a home for you. This, don't joke with it. Heart. We'll sing that song, don't worry. Number 6, walk in the consciousness of God's grace. A little flip now. Walk in the consciousness of God's grace, which is available for you. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 to 10. God told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Do you know that the reason why you can resist temptation is because there is grace for you not to fall? Part of the things that grace does is it empowers you to live above sin. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared unto all men, which brings salvation, has appeared to all men. Verse 12. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So the grace of God can teach you to deny, to say no. Many of us may fall into temptations, not because we want to, but because we are so scared of sin that we are not conscious of the grace of God in us. The grace of God is not just for you to be anointed. It's also to empower you to live above sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 14, let sin not rule over your mortal bodies, for you are no longer under the law, but under grace. The law made them susceptible to sin. But grace makes you alive unto God. You see that from verse 11 of Romans chapter 6 to verse 12 and verse 30. It says, therefore reckon ye yourself dead, being dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then it says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Not let it. Why? Because grace empowers you to say no. Grace that empowers you to pray also empowers you to say no. Walk in the consciousness of grace. You are not a victim of sin. No. Christ has set you free. You now have the power to rule over it. So don't walk around afraid as if sin is like broken bottles on the ground. You will match it soon. No, sir. Walk around in the confidence of what Jesus has done for you. That there is now a nature in you that is opposed to sin. He said, for if you walk in the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Job said, the thing I feared most. But when you walk in the consciousness of God's grace, that's why it was given. When you get home, read 2 Corinthians, I said 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 to 14. Hebrews 13, verse 9. I like Romans 3, 23 to 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't end there. Look at verse 24. Therefore, being freely justified by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but that's why there's a comma in verse 23. It says, therefore, being freely justified by grace. Say after me, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. That's why we say I'm sanctified, I'm justified. I'm being glorified because grace has empowered you. Number 7, depend on the Holy Spirit. That's where we close tonight. Romans chapter 8 verse 13. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Galatians 5 verse 16 to 18 and verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit.
So walk depending on the Holy Spirit to help you. Have you been blessed so far? We'll take out 5 minutes to pray before we shut down tonight. Sometimes some messages come to you to prepare you for a season ahead. Sometimes some messages minister to you at the very point of your need. Maybe that's what you are going through. Some of you didn't hear this kind of message before, but now you have heard it and you know that you are armed against any temptation that the devil will throw at you. The Bible says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Jude chapter 1 verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. God is able to keep you from falling. I said God is able to keep you from falling. Mm-hmm. King James. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling. That's why I know I will not fall. Not by my strength, but there is one who will keep me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Rise on your feet. We are going to pray. I want you to open your mouth and thank the Lord for what you've heard. Just in 1 minute, open your mouth and thank him for what you've heard. Come and make my heart your home. Come and be everything I have and all I know. Oh, search me true and true till my heart becomes a home. Let's sing it again. Come and make my heart your home. And come and be everything I have and all I know. Sing, search me, Lord, search me. True and true. Till my heart becomes. Sing the chorus together. Hey, a home for you. Oh, a home for you. Lord, let everything I do open up the door for you to come through. To my my heart, your home, and come and be everything
I am and all I know.
Sing, search me true and true.
Search me true and true
till my heart becomes a home. I'd like you to pray one prayer tonight from the song we just sang. Lord, search my heart. If there is anything that the enemy has planted that may become a trap for my downfall tomorrow, Lord, take it away. I love you, Lord. I love my destiny. I love my life. I don't intend to fall, by the way. Lord, take out every root of evil, every root of bitterness. Please open your mouth and pray. I want you to pray with the passion with which you want God to take it off your heart. Young men, please pray. Please pray. Cry now in his presence so you don't cry tomorrow when the temptation comes. Lord, take it away. Every lust for money, every lust for women, every lust for men. Selfishness. pride. Take it away. Please pray. God is not saying you are evil, no. But there is a tendency in you. David never knew that he had the tendency to murder an innocent man and to take his wife. That's why he said in Psalms 139, he says, search me, O God, and know me. Try me and see if there is any evil way. Come on, somebody talk to God. Please pray. Play, guys. In Jesus' name, we pray. One of the ways to avoid temptation is spiritual fervency, to always be on fire. Cry to God for 1 minute and say, Lord, may my fire never go out. Not in the midst of comfort, not in the midst of pleasure. May my fire, as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a minister, as a millionaire, as a manager, as a wealthy businessman, as a politician, may my fire never go out. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Lord, may my fire. Somebody cry. Somebody cry. One of us. Hey. Listen. Hey. I am your. I am your own. Till the day you will. Hey. Alabarakados yaka. I refuse to grow cold spiritually. It's all the church of Revelation. I wish you were hot. But if you are not hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Lord, I refuse to be lukewarm. I refuse to be lukewarm. In Jesus' name. Jesus told the church in Revelations, the church of Laodicea. He said, I would have wished you were hot or cold. He said, but because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. To be cold means you are dead, spiritually dead. That was the church of Sardis, Revelation 3 verse 1. He said, you people are dead already. To be hot means you're on fire. When you're on fire, no devil can come close. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the season to be revived and to be on fire, because the days that we live in are evil. Lift your hands, I want to pray for you.
Till the day you will come, Jesus, I am.
Sing it one more time.
I am your own.
Sing it to him.
I am your own. Till the day you will come, Jesus, I am your own.
Lift your hands. Father, I pray for your children in this season. I pray for a baptism of fire, of hunger and passion for the secret place. Hunger and passion for the things of God. An insatiable desire to always stay revived. Let it be planted in your heart today. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that at every season of your life, when the tempter comes, he will meet you revived and alive spiritually. Every trap that the enemy has set to make you fall, especially those ones that you keep falling and rising from today, the grace to stand and to remain steadfast is released upon you today. Please lift your hands. I pray in this atmosphere, any form of addiction that has been planted over any life from the pit of hell is broken. Every addiction is broken right now. I command the spirit of Baal to leave your life. The spirit of Ashtoreth to leave your life. Spirits that fuel uncontrolled desires of the flesh, I command that their yoke over your life is broken. I declare that you are free tonight. And you walk in that freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus. From today you walk in grace. The Spirit of God will keep you steadfast. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You will not fall or falter. You will not fail God. You will not fail yourself. You will not fail your generation. You will not fail your children. You will not fail your children's children. But God will give you the legacy of a saint. And it will be said about your life that though you were blessed in all things, yet you lived for God. In Jesus' name we pray. Please clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Please keep standing. Anybody in need of salvation tonight, you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and you know you are the one I'm talking to, or you want to rededicate your life afresh, I'll count to 10 seconds. I'll count 10 seconds. Please don't look at anybody around you, even if you are the only one that will step out today. Step out and say yes to Jesus. 1, 2. If you find them around you, please encourage them to come. 3. Please come to Jesus. He's calling you. Heaven is excited because you are coming to him. This is how you become victorious over the devil, over sin. 4, 5. I'm waiting for that young lady. I'm waiting for that woman. 6, 7. Please keep clapping as they come. 8. 9. Hallelujah. Please stretch your hands towards them and pray for them. From the depth of your heart, pray for them. Those of you in front, please put your right hand on your chest. You are going to make a prayer that is going to change your life. And I ask you to put your right hand on your chest because it's like an oath you are taking. You are declaring allegiance to Jesus and breaking free from any force that ruled over your life or enslaved you. Please repeat these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my sin. and I receive you into my heart. I proclaim that you are my Lord and Savior, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Now lift your right hand. Father, by the authority of your word, their sins are forgiven. The power of sin and death is broken over their life. The power of Satan is broken over their life. Addictions from hell is broken over their life. Witchcraft is broken over their lives. From now, I declare their freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. The grace to serve you come upon them today and to live for you all the days of their life. Seal them with your Holy Spirit of promise and change their lives forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for making this wonderful decision. I know within you that you can sense freedom and peace inside of you. That's what the presence of Jesus comes when it comes into your life. Please turn to your left. We'll direct you to our counselors. Walk straight to them and they'll have a word with you. God bless you. Clap for them as they leave.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.